All right, let's come on back to order, please. Thank you all. I guess you all know what I'm going to read up this week. Talk to Peter, talk to Jonathan. All right, thank you for your patience, everybody. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Pam McAsee, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The Planning Committee met on the 7th of April, last Wednesday. We went through, as part of the consent agenda, the many funding opportunities, the decisions that have been made for the tourism money. We had our annual report from the Water Resources Council, and that, I'll tell you, that advisory group is an active, really effective advisory group, as are all of our advisory groups. And so it was great to have them come and speak with us. Joe Mariana talked to us about the progress that he's been making on looking at the position that will be created to oversee the tourism program. That program has the funding in that program, the annual amount of money is a substantial amount, and the feeling is that we need to have a paid person overseeing the program. So we've been looking at, he's been looking at, in conjunction with some of the rest of us, in terms of where that would be housed and whether there would be a county employee or some other combination of things. So he gave us a report, and he is making progress, and we are all very glad. The next thing we had was a report from the Soil and Water Conservation District. It was great. I will say that Craig Schutt, who runs that group, is somebody who he does a wonderful job, and he was describing to us that they have six employees, and they have a $1 million budget, and most of that comes from the state. By the way, a good part of that they have been not getting. The state has been very slow in paying them. But we also give them $110,000from the county. But because of this, they bring in about $1 million into the county, because with our $110,000 investment, we bring this in. Anyway, it was interesting to have him there. We don't hear from them very often, so it was a good opportunity for all of us. And there really, we had a report from the commissioner. But I think these are things that I don't need to talk about right now. So in the interest of time, I am going to stop. And I am going to move Resolution G. Okay.
Well, we have A. Questions also. First? Well, let's start with A, which
A
came off consent.
What's that?
Resolution A was pulled off consent agenda.
Okay. I'm sorry. We're going to start. But did you have a question, Julie?
Is there a question on Pam's report first?
I forgot something, too.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Julie first.
All right, Julie.
I wanted to say something about a couple of the tourism grants. One, which will pass money to Cornell's Center for Transformative Action, which used to be known as CRESP, is to investigate the feasibility of something called a Dorothy Cotton Institute. And if you had an opportunity to read backup material on what that was about, it really seems to be about developing a freedom and justice center, which could be part of a Black History Trail, which doesn't exist yet, but I think it's a very exciting feasibility study, and I wanted to make sure that the public heard about that. The other one I want to talk about is could have been part of the celebration grants, but it did not get recommended out of committee. And when I saw that oversight, when I read the agenda packet, I decided I would look into it further. This is a celebration proposal for the Community School of Music and Arts, which will be 50 years old and is planning a year-long celebration from 2010 into 2011. And it was my belief that that particular proposal fit the eligibility criteria. So I did some phoning around to find out, and indeed it could fit in there. I didn't make a motion tonight to add anything because I need a little bit further clarification on a couple of points. But I wanted to let you all know that there's a good chance that at our next meeting I will pre-file a resolution to add some money for CSMA. That's all. Thank you.
Jim?
Yes, thank you, Martha. I remember last year when we did this, and I made some comments about the wording in all in the documents, especially purposes box that were here, and I think it's improved greatly. It reads a lot better than it did last year. And
you're talking about the resolutions on the for the grants.
Yeah, the grants and things.
The tourism grants.
The whole thing. It just has a much better feel to it in describing the pluses and minuses of the applications and things like that.
Leslin? Frank?
I don't know who would provide this information, but could we get a refresher, and this is on the tourism grants, on the different grants, like what's a project grant and what constitutes a marketing grant and the celebrations, yeah. Just the description of what constitutes
that could be provided.
And I do want to thank Dooley for pointing out about the Dorothy Cotton Institute, because I know when folks see things, sometimes it's a little nerve-wracking, but the organization or the group of people who are putting this together don't have non-for-profit statuses yet, hence they're going through CRESP, but it is gearing up to be a very amazing and dynamic part of our community, and we hope that it will happen at some point soon.
Thank you, Leslin. Frank?
Thank you, Martha. This probably will not be a popular statement to make. It seems to be the way of the world. We've spent, on the previous resolution that was member introduced, well over an hour discussing that. I, for one, am annoyed that a committee chair is considering shortening her committee report because in the interest of time. I think it's an opportunity for those of us that do not attend every committee meeting to... it's pertinent to the planning committee, Carol, excuse me. I think it's important for those of us that can't sit on every committee to listen to what the reports are. And I don't think that it's totally appropriate to have a committee chair shorten their report just because a resolution has taken more time than it should have. Thank you.
Any other comments on Pam's report?
Well, I actually just I forgot to mention something, and maybe I will talk slowly. I forgot to mention. I just wanted to say that the planning committee looked at the recommendations from the Housing Oversight Committee. On the for projects. Under the Affordable Housing Coalition between the city, the Cornell, and the county. And that will be coming to the legislature. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it now because I think that when it comes to us and we're looking at it, it would be the time when we could discuss what these projects are a little bit. And I will be happy to do that. And I just want to say that I frankly... will continue to have short reports. because I think that we tend to take too much time, and because we've spent an hour on one issue, I think that in the interest of getting through our committee, getting through our agenda, I think that we all should shorten what we have to say. Thank you.
Okay, Resolution A, Pam?
Oh, sorry. Resolution A, support for state legislation to amend current enabling laws authorizing sustainable energy financing programs, and I so move.
There's a second? Second by Will, and Kathy, you pulled it off.
Well, Pam, I'm just going to ask you to talk some more, so excuse me ahead of time. I was looking at this, and I saw in the resolve, this, you know, I looked at the first two whereases. It sounds like the sustainable energy financing programs, great things. I would like to continue them. And the third whereas talks about creating and retaining local jobs in the energy audit and energy contracting sector. What's not to like about that? In the resolved, I saw a phrase about correcting and to correct technical deficiencies within the current enabling laws authorizing sustainable energy financing programs, including allowing the use of bonds and other sources of public and private financing to establish and implement such programs. I'm interested in knowing what the technical deficiencies are and what the impact would be of allowing the use of bonds and other sources of public and private financing.
Well, one of the problems with the way things are structured right now is that when, as part of this whole process, the county would be basically taking a lien out on the property, because we would be lending this money out, and banks generally. It runs into problems with banks because they don't how properties with liens on them become more less desirable to finance. So that's something that's in the legislation as it's passed. The other piece of it I'm not quite sure of, and I didn't know if you do you know.
I know that the major deficiency relates to the fact that under finance law right now, we're not authorized to bond. We're not authorized to borrow money for these kinds of purposes. Okay. So the intent would be to broaden what's allowed to be borrowed by municipalities such as ours for this purpose. That's really the major structural thing that needs to be changed.
This is also known as the PACE program that Ed Marks has talked about a number of times. And I remember when the state passed the bill in the fall, I said, so that's great, right, Ed? And he said, no. No, they didn't do everything that they had to do. But I didn't know the details, yeah.
So the question I had about this is sometimes, and you all know that I've harped on this in the past because of the issue with foundations being utilized to circumvent prevailing wage requirements. There's nothing like this involved with that, or is there a way that, because there's a lien and a first lien, that something that would be technically considered public property can now be considered private property, thus avoiding prevailing wage laws?
Basically what this is being used for is for people in their homes to put in fuel-efficient furnaces, put in windows, upgrade their houses to make them more energy efficient.
Then I love this. Thank you.
But what it does, the difference is that it's not just like a short-term loan. What it does is it's attached to the property tax so that every year you would get a bill and you would pay off this loan over time. If you sold the house, the loan would go with the property. You would not be having to pay this loan off when you sold the property.
So, for example, a furnace that now I would be worried about, that it should have a 10 or a 15-year payback and no more than that, I could invest in something that I wouldn't have to worry about the payback because the loan at a lower interest would be payable over a longer period of time.
Well, and it's connected to the house, not you. If you wanted to sell your house in 5 years and you put it in a furnace that's going to last, you're paying for it for 15 years, this would, or maybe it's the other way around, this would allow it to stay with the house instead of your having to pay it off before you sell the house.
Sounds great. Thank you.
This removes two of the main barriers about people changing to renewables or doing these kinds of upgrades, the lack of capital to start with and they need to have a payback period where that you're still going to be living in the house to make it worthwhile. So this is a great thing, and I'm sorry Stacy's gone. She's missing this. Carol?
Yeah, I do want to point out, I support this, and I think it's a great idea to achieve the aims of encouraging people to think long-term about how to make their houses more energy efficient, and I think that it... it achieves that aim. I will point out that... the other thing I was going to say about it was that the amount that people can potentially save in their energy payments, utility payments, can in many cases end up paying the loan payments. So in terms of the time that the original person who takes the loan is in the house, it's definitely a win-win. Any buyer, when you go to sell that house, a buyer would take into account the fact that there are loans on the house. This is a loan. It will require payment. That will figure into the calculation. So it will be revealed. It's not a hidden loan.
Are you ready to vote on this? All in favor of Resolution A? Please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. And G?
Resolution G, appropriation of 2010-2011 budgets for the Ithaca-Tompkins County Transportation Council. And I so move.
So second by Dooley. Any discussion? Ready to vote. All in favor, please raise your hand. And any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Pam. Moving to the census, complete count census report.
Okay. I think this will probably be the last report I give to the Census Committee for a while, unless people are dying to hear more. What we have moved from the mail-in of the forms, we're moving into the phase where they go out, the enumerators move out. But they won't be doing that for a few weeks, except in very special areas that have been undercounted, and in particular, College Town and South Hill, the lower part of South Hill. This Saturday, a group of enumerators are going to be out going through the areas on a Saturday morning, trying to catch the students while they're still in their apartments. So that's great, and that will be going on. The enumerators will hit the ground for the rest of the county after the 1st of May. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that things will move along. And I just wanted to give a quick rundown, and hopefully this time I can do it right. I just wanted to give the top five municipalities, towns or villages in terms of percentages, participation rates. Number five is Danby at 78%. There are two tied at number four. Cayuga Heights is tied at 79% with Lansing, the town of Lansing. Number three is the village of Trumansburg at 80%. And number two, there are two of them, the village of Freeville is at 81%, and they are tied with the village of Dryden at 81%. And number one is Groton. The town of Groton is at 82%.
All right,
so here we go.
Thank you, and I wear this pin religiously.
Excellent.
And that's why they want.
That's why, I'm sure that's why it's at 82.
Julie, can I ask you a quick question? Is that map there, is that new?
This year?
The yellow one?
This was when we were talking about us.
That's where they went door to door.
Yeah. This is heaven. Part of East Hill. And when we're talking about the sections that we were going
where the census enumerators are going to be going door to door. I actually went up there today and spent some time with a large landlord right in that area, and he's willing to let us have access to all of his apartments in there, and showed me how, you know, how to have the enumerators get into the apartments. So it was very helpful. John Novar is the landlord who's been so helpful.
Great, Nathan, Carol, and Peter.
I wanted to thank Kevin and Pam, and then also Carol came out that one day at College Town. Also to Samante Myrick and Eddie Rooker, both the Alder people there, because I guess I was talking to Kevin about this, and he said that there were 3,016 calls made to that area, to College Town. 2,000 quarter cards were handed out, and 600 T-shirts. So it's pretty impressive. And actually, for a long time, I guess the numbers in College Town were hovering around 39%. Yeah. And then it went up beyond 50 now. So.
It's College Town is at 52%.
52%, And so from the point of, it was at 39, and then after all these efforts, went up to 52. So plus the enumerators, you know, we'll see what happens.
Great, thank you. Carol and Peter.
I was asked by a reporter yesterday whether we have passed the absolute drop-dead date for people, you know, if people, the students in particular, this was the Cornell Sun, find that form in their piles of things, can they still send it back this week? Or if they're reminded by this article she's writing.
Well, do you want me to that? They can send it in and it may be counted, but it doesn't mean that they won't also have somebody come to their door and knock, and because if they won't have recorded it, by the time the enumerators are out, the Census Bureau will not have recorded that written.
Is there a date beyond which, if you send back your form, it will be thrown away, as opposed to recorded?
That's a little vague. It is not totally clear. If there's any doubt, I would send it in. But once again, I think if they don't have a form recorded from that address, there will be somebody who comes to that house. So you'll probably, if you mail it in, you'll probably have the enumerator come before the form gets in. So.
Peter?
Thank you.
Since this is my last opportunity to ask this question, I'll ask it. Every time I hear this report, the same question forms in my mind, but I don't ask it. This fraction that's given all the time, 81% here, 78% there, I understand how you get the numerator, that's how many people you've counted, but the denominator is the right answer. And the whole point of this exercise is to get the right answer. So, can you explain that to me?
The participation rate is this percentage that we are these numbers we are saying is the percentage of forms that have been returned relative to the number of forms that have been sent out.
Ah, okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good job, Pam. Thank you for all your work on that. I know that it's been
I think
really
this
quite
is
something.
The most difficult part of doing this.
Understood. Budget and Capital Committee, Jim Dennis.
Thank you very much. Let me go right to the resolutions, and then I'll wrap up with a little report after that. And I can promise you, all of you, that the Budget Committee workload will increase dramatically over the next 8 months, and you will tire of hearing about it. I would move Resolution H, which is appropriation from contingent fund terminal pay reimbursement to the personnel department, and I would move that.
Second by Kathy, and this is a short form roll call. Is there any discussion? Okay, Kathy.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yep.
Ms. McAsee?
Yes.
Thank you.
Would anyone like to be recorded as no? All right, that's unanimous.
I would move Resolution I, which is an authorization to execute a five-year agreement with the New York State Unified Court System for the provision of court attendant services at the main courthouse.
Second? Did I see Dooley? Seconds? Okay. Nathan, is your hand up? Or
yeah, my hand's up, yeah.
Okay, Nathan and then Dooley.
Oh, no, do Dooley and then Nathan. I'm going to answer. Oh, I can second it, too. But I have a feeling I will answer.
I would like to offer an amendment.
Never mind.
To the fourth whereas, which is on lines 13 and 14.
I see it.
To say, and OCA sets the wages with Tompkins County acting as a pass-through agent. And I want to do that because the last time I heard the OCA wages were below our livable wage standard in Tompkins County, and we have no control over that.
Dooley, with Tompkins County acting as a pass-through what? What was
the agent.
Agent, okay.
I think I said.
All right, now, I have you down as seconding.
That's fine.
The motion so that it's obviously friendly to you. Jim, is that friendly to you? Jim, is that friendly to you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's now the motion. Nathan?
God knows, yes.
Did you?
I did raise my hand. But yeah, Dooley, it's between $7.88 and $8.88 per hour. That's all.
Okay. Is there any other lesson?
This says that it's on recommendation of the Public Safety Committee.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's coming
yes.
from?
Yes. Well, it was budget committee.
It's a joint.
Right.
Okay. And I have one more question. The court attendants are the folks inside the court, not the security.
Right.
Thank you.
Puzzled faces. Carol? Okay. Anything else? Okay, are we ready to vote on the revised amendment, revised resolution? All in favor, raise your hand, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Your report?
Retreat meeting is 6 p.m., 427 at QCAT. There's also been a request for food and a contribution to SAME given to the clerk of the legislature, and that will provide some food for all the people who attend the meeting. It's scheduled to be a three-hour meeting.
Oh.
Hopefully it can be, sooner than that, but that's what we have it set for.
Suggested contribution?
Sure. I'm sorry?
Suggested contribution?
10.
I'm sure if everybody puts in 10, it should be on.
15. Wow.
You want 15?
No.
Do I hear 20? Okay.
That's a lot of money.
Is there anything, Brian? I saw Brian and then Leslin.
Yeah. Just that I'll ask you, but I really need to ask him. I'll just ask him. You said that the budget committee was going to meet a half an hour before.
No, we're not going to. I'll do the rest of the report, and I'll answer that question.
Okay.
Disregard.
All right, Leslin?
I just want to have it clarified that although there's a request for a contribution, that no one should feel that they have to make a contribution if they can't afford it.
Absolutely.
I just want to have it clarified.
Absolutely. Jim, you weren't finished with your report, is that right?
That's right.
Go ahead.
There are a couple of things. I noticed my return to town this week, today, that there was an article in the newspaper about property tax in New York State and Tompkins County, and that certainly is going to be on my mind, and I'm sure every legislator's mind as we meet at the retreat and then as we move through the whole budget process for the rest of this year. And finally, there will not be a budget meeting on Monday, because of the fact there is a limited number of things that I think we can do it in the first meeting in May, and we're asking you to be there on the next day for 3 hours to be focused totally on the budget, and we will not have a regular scheduled meeting on Monday.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Public Safety Committee, Nathan Shinigawa, Chair.
Yeah, but we're not going to.
No, public Safety? I have no report.
Okay. Thank you. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Pleasant Lake Bean Clairborn, Chair.
At our last WDIC meeting, we started talking about bringing to this body an encouraging resolution. Well, not that we're not considering it. For the use of the MLK Street name. So in the event that you heard about it, I just wanted to point out something. That resolution hasn't come to this point because we recognize that there were still some missing pieces, like if you Googled and tried to find a street, it was not up, and so we needed to work with the city's GIS folks to make sure that it will appear on your GPS and MapQuest and all those things, and that's what's happening right now. So it's just an encouraging resolution. I know the department heads have been thinking about it, but we just wanted to make sure that all the pieces were solidly in place, which we thought they were, but you know, obviously they wasn't. So in case you heard rumblings, I wanted to make sure you knew that. The Undoing Racism series of trainings begins tomorrow, and we have a number of county employees who are signed up. This is a, we spoke about this before, the whole collaboration with the City School District, Kearney University, the City of Ithaca, us, Cayuga Medical Center, and I think one other person, or one other entity. And so we have a number, each of us had like 30 slots that we can take over three sets of series, and then there's potentially more. So we have a number of employees who are signed up. It is an exciting, exciting opportunity, and I'm glad to see that we jumped on board to do it. I don't remember if there were any spaces left for legislators if they were interested at all. Joe, I'm looking at you because your office has been trying to organize some of this. But there will be more to come, so some of our employees will be participating with it, and I think that's information worth sharing. The let me see what else is on my list. Martha, thank you for talking about Dorothy Heights. You know, it was on my list of things. She certainly was a matriarch of the civil rights movement here with us, standing with Dr. King, and a great loss to this community. And just sort of a reminder to many of us about taking on our leadership roles, especially as women, and for many of us as women of color. We at WDIC always pay keen attention to the things that are in the news, President Obama's what's being touted as the hospital decision is something that we're paying attention to. I'm glad to see that that's one small step, but you know, there's a lot more work that needs to be done, and hope that as legislators we will send, you know, just supporting messages by email and other forms to say, you know, good move in the right direction. We're looking forward to more more to come. On May 6th, I think it is. We'll look it up. I know I forgot. May 6th, the History Center, a part of Black History Month, what they were going to do, a show movie called Passing It On, The South Side Story. I think we got snowed out and it got moved to May 6th. And I encourage all of you, if you have the opportunity, to go and watch. It's only 18 minutes long. It's from the film begins at 5:30, and then there's a discussion from 6 to 7 p.m. This is at the History Center in collaboration with Southside Community Center. There are a number of people in our community who have been instrumental in bringing the history of civil and human rights in Ithaca to light, and some of those folks are highlighted in the movie. Some of them have since passed on, like Julia Diane Sams, who was an activist and amazing city councilwoman, and Mrs. Frances Eastman, who just recently passed. So it's nice to relive that, some of that history.
And Dooley also mentioned something I wanted to talk about, which was the Dorothy Cotton Institute, and there's more information to come about that. So I just wanted to share those things with you all, and some of the things we're talking about are going to be talked about at WDIC. We will meet again on Wednesday, April 28th, 3:30 to 5 in the Beverly State Conference Room.
Thank you, Leslie. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thanks. Pardon me. Thanks, Martha. The committee met on the 14th in continuing to deal with the effects of the governor's budget changes and the impacts. A couple of highlights that came out of it. There obviously are three resolutions on the agenda tonight that will reflect some of this, but I want to draw your attention to the long-term care needs assessment that was completed by the coalition. It was quite a good report. There are summaries available, an executive summary that I would suggest if you have an opportunity that you read. The reason being, Betty Falco gave us chapter and verse on what the status and what the future holds for people that are aging at this point. Those of us that are hitting retirement age now are pretty healthy, according to her. And the dollar amount that the county and the state will have to spend on our care will probably not be significant. It'll be some. But what the report showed was that the people coming in back of us that are, there's a lot of concern about couch potatoes and obesity and diabetes. They're worried that those people, when they begin to hit their 60s, 70s, and 80s, will be very costly and will have an intense amount of care. If you have a chance to read the report, it's a very good one. Of course, the continuing shortage of home health aides and individuals that are assisting in the nursing homes is going to continue to be even more intense, especially if this population is aging. We haven't completely tackled the effect of the health care legislation. That's as it's going to be phased in over the next 3 to 4 years. I've asked the coalition as well as a couple of others. Martha informed me that the Chamber of Commerce was going to look at some of that as well. But please, if you have a chance, particularly with the budget season coming up, take a look at that long-term care report because there are some budget implications there. If you don't have a copy of it, I thought copies were sent to all of you. If not, I'll see that copies are put in your boxes. This summary is about 4 or 5 pages long. It won't take you long to read. The other is the youth services. Nancy Zook came and gave us quite a chapter and verse on the Summer Youth Employment Program. Remember, that's a program that took a $50,000 hit last year, and it was devastated. They've completely reconfigured it, and they're working with the Workforce Development Group. They intend to deal with about 700 kids, which is really impressive, 14 to 16-year-olds, and they have already been talking with, I think, if I wrote this down correctly, about 150 service jobs. They have what's known as a summer educator program, and because it affects all of our communities, there's also a spreadsheet that was given out to the committee that shows by municipality how many kids are employed, and I know how most of you are concerned about that level of involvement in the community. I think most of the rest of this will be reflected in the resolutions. We did agree and appreciate Pat's agreement to serve in our last, to fill, not that it's the least important, but the COFA liaisonship for the COFA board, and I really want to thank Pat for stepping up and doing that. On that long-term needs assessment, one of the interesting points was to draw Ithaca College, perhaps through some of their departments that deal with the gerontology, into the talk about this. The next committee meeting is May 12th, and Joe already gave you an update on the public health research right now, so I won't do that again. And other than that, I think I'll... Oh, the health department building. My understanding is that the date has been moved again for a move-in to June 25th. And I understand there's a little flexibility there, but those of you that are keeping track of this might like to jot that down, because I suspect there's going to be some event that takes place.
Any questions for Frank? All right, you have Resolution J and the two that you've added.
Resolution J is a change in hours, psychiatric social worker and forensic counselor, Tompkins County Mental Health Department, and I so move.
Is there a second? Dooley seconds.
There's no cost involved here. It just is a shift in hours.
Any discussion? Ready to vote. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you.
Thanks.
Resolution M.
Resolution M. This is the one, these next two were ones that were put in your red folders tonight. In opposition to New York State proposed legislation, I won't read the bill numbers, amending New York State insurance and public health law. And I'll move it and then describe it.
Is there a second? Pat, seconds.
The state, in its infinite wisdom, is proposing a change with regard to autistic kids and how the insurance coverage that supports some of these kids is going to be received. And, of course, the state is proposing to replace the counties in the line of succession so that any monies that come back through the insurance coverage will not come to the county, will go to the state. Not a good move. There's no cost saving at all to us. As a matter of fact, there's an expense. And if you read that second bullet, the current practice of insurers broadly defined the term medical necessity, that is a real concern. And we've gone over this with Sylvia Allinger, who looks over our Children with Special Care Needs program, and totally not supportive of the state's move in this case, and we'd appreciate your support in opposing the proposed legislation.
And this NYSAC is leading the effort. NYSAC is leading the effort on this, and hoping that they make a difference. Is there any questions, any comments on this? Ready to vote. All in favor, raise your hand, please. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thanks, Martha. Resolution M. In opposition to Article 6, Health and Mental Health Bill, Section 43 of the proposed 2010-2011 Governor's Budget. And I move it.
Is there a second? Brian seconds.
Basically what this is, the state again is stepping in. Joe, I may need your help on this. Let me read that, whereas it says the state's proposed disallowance language, which undermines the Medicaid cap agreement and exposes local taxpayers to increased costs and cuts in essential services, and it's based on a one-sided determination by the state. What this does is it doesn't help the county out, and it really flies in the face of legislation that this board passed some years back. And you notice in the first whereas we referred to a resolution that was passed in 2004. This set the cap, and this governor's violating his own cap. Joe, help me out with this.
Yeah, I think you've really captured the essence of it, Frank. It's a provision in the governor's bill that would compromise the whole principle of the cap. And that when the cap was set up, the understanding was that if there are any recoveries of Medicaid money, we've talked about these gotcha audits, where sometimes auditors go out and they recover Medicaid money from folks, and it's a variety of other kinds of recoveries, which are found money. The understanding of the cap was, if there are recoveries like that, those recoveries go to the state. but also if the federal government disallows any costs, and there has to be a payback of costs, the state would also have to bear that risk. So they realized the reward, they bore the risk, and it was only appropriate, especially on the risk side, because the state sets all the rules on Medicaid, and if the federal government decides they're going to disallow something because of a rule infraction, it's really a state rule. So NYSAC has detected this proposal in the governor's budget, rightfully finds that it creates a risk for counties. It's just not fair, and it does begin to erode that idea of a real cap on county Medicaid costs. So it's just like the last resolution. There's strength in numbers, and they've encouraged as many counties as possible to sign on to this to oppose it.
Any questions, comments? All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. That's unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Julie Kiefer, Chair.
We're having a special meeting on Friday, the 30th of this month, from 9:30 to probably 11:30. It will be an executive session. It will be a meeting at which staff will present in some detail the responsive proposals they received to the RFP to change to single-stream recycling. I apologize to legislators who have conflicts with that time. I tried to find a time that most people could come, and there is no such time. So it will be then, and all legislators are invited. There has been a confidential envelope put in your mailboxes, I guess several days ago, that has some background material for that meeting, and at least for those of you who can't attend, you have that to help bring you up to speed.
Can you please give the time and place?
It'll be at the Legislative Chambers on Friday the 30th at 9:30. I was glad that Cheryl had an opportunity to go quickly through the sustainability team's work. They have been a great addition to the county's efforts to move forward on green things, and Cheryl has been a good chair of that group. I want to make a preliminary announcement that Warren Road, between Hillview and Asbury, will be closed starting April 26th for about 2 months for a road repaving reconstruction project, and detour information will be announced shortly. That's the end of my report.
Thank you. Leslie and then Frank.
Julie, you said the April 30th meeting is an executive session. Why?
Because the proposals received from the different companies responding to the RFP are not publicly shared. They don't want one to know about the other. They're going to be negotiated, and in fact, by that time, there may be negotiations underway. So it needs to be an executive session.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Frank, and then Will.
Thanks, Martha. Julie, without revealing anything that's confidential, with regard to the comments that the gentleman made from Hanshaw Road earlier this evening, can you highlight any of the timetable on that project at all?
Not really. I spoke with John Lampman either yesterday or today, I can't remember, wondering about how things are going, and I really don't have an update.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Will?
Julie, the envelope proposal that we got from one firm, will we also be getting similar things from the other firms that have submitted proposals? Or?
I'm not sure what will be handed out then, but you're going to have a lot more detail presented at that meeting.
Okay.
Kathy?
For those of us that can't attend, can we get copies of the handouts?
I would imagine so, but since I don't know exactly what they're going to be, I would assume they'll be of a size that can be handed out.
I'd like to request that
sure.
A copy be provided, if nothing else, at the legislature office.
Certainly.
Anything else for Julie? Okay. Thank you very much, Julie. Capital Plan Review Committee. We met on April 8th, and the first topic was about evaluating the jail, the current public safety building. And we had asked Arel Lamaro to give us an update, to talk to the sheriff and give us an update on what kind of maintenance issues lay in front of us on this sort of short, mid, and long-term basis, 0 to 5 years, 5 to 10, and 10 to 15 years. The list for the first 5 years totals about $250,000 to $300,000 worth of repairs, basic maintenance, over that period. Arel's got in his budget about $85,000 to $90,000 worth of that this year. Some of it's already been done. For the second 10 years, the second 5 years, about $200,000 worth of work, and out 10 to 15 years, about $700,000 worth of work. So the sort of short answer to the question of are we facing anything imminent that would require us to move up the jail project from the time it's currently on the capital program, the short answer is no. That both the staff, that would be Ed, Peter Meskel, and Arel, really feel confident in suggesting that the jail project be revisited in 2014. And the question of sort of will that be when we begin planning, or would we begin planning in advance of 2014, that's still not exactly determined. But basically, the designation in the capital plan right now, capital program, is that 2014 is when we could theoretically begin assuming the costs for the public safety building. Well, it was written, of course, before the economic crash and the change in our retirement contributions. But basically, they felt confident saying that we could put that building, renovation of that building, or whatever we need to do, off a few more years. We reviewed the Space Use Master Plan report from the committee that worked in 2005, and that looked especially at the Center of Government building, proposed Center of Government building, and the Health Department building. as you know, the Health Department building is almost taken care of. The proposal has been discussed about using the site of the old library as a new building for a variety of functions. This relates obviously to the use of this space right here. There's been some activity in the Tompkins County Bar Association related to us vacating not just the Office for the Aging out of this building, but the room we're in right now. So that the study of the courts, of the courthouse space, is going to be completed in June. So that wasn't exactly on the charge of this, of the Capital Plan Review Committee, but it's clearly related. So we talked about things that need to be updated in those reports, and basically we're sort of moving towards a recommendation about what, if anything, needs to be included in 2011's budget. That was the basic charge to the committee. So if you want more information, I can give people a list of the items that Arel had on his list if anybody's interested. Will?
There was a thing in the news, a new regulation from the state in terms of public meeting spaces, and that there needed to be adequate space for people to observe, which has been a chronic shortfall. This, I don't know, maybe we are legally adequate, but I was just wondering if that had entered into the space needs discussions.
No, we didn't talk about that yet at all. Mike?
I think the governor signed those bills after our meeting. But it's one of those bills has to do with adequate space for the public in the venues. So It's certainly something I think GO Committee will be looking at.
But we also televise our meetings.
We do.
Televise, and,
yes.
And when we have a crowd, we, you know, we make use of the room next door. I'm not sure who's going to pay for that really fine space that the governor might be proposing that we build, but we'll put it on the list. So are there any other questions? Okay, the committee meets May 13th next. Thank you. Government Operations Committee, Mike Lane.
The Government Operations Committee, of course, is the premier committee of the county legislature. I thought that would wake you up, the last report of the evening. We did meet at the Tompkins County Public Library on the 15th, and we heard from the library director, Susan Curry, our new director, and I took a short tour, some of us, afterwards. But we conducted a lot of business as well. We heard from our county administrator, Joe, and you can chime in, talking about the plans and efforts toward this lean office training, something that, of course, was recommended by the budget committee, or the Citizens Budget Committee last year, that we take a look at that. And Joe told us he'd identified a couple of departments that might be the first to look at this, possibly the Human Services and the Health Department and the Office for the Aging, I should say, and that would not take the full amount of money that was set aside in contingency for that. But maybe if we go on beyond that, we might have to look at spending more of the money. Dave Squires told us about the trip he and Jonathan Wood took to the bankruptcy hearing regarding the Lakeside Nursing Home bankruptcy and the amount of unpaid taxes there, which are in the $1 million range that is owed to the county. And, of course, we've had to extend money to reimburse the school districts before that. Apparently, their efforts were at least partially successful in that they stopped some activity that would have hurt the amount of money that we could potentially recover, and they're hoping that perhaps as much as $650,000 in the bankruptcy action might be recovered in the future. It was in the news, of course, but our committee was the first to take up the issue of the sale of Biggs B. Our county administrator came to us with a proposal which was within the parameters of his direction by this county legislature, and after some excellent negotiations, the tentative and I should say after going through the appraisal exercises, the tentative sale price is $1,059,000. And it's, of course, to Cayuga Medical Center, which is, I think a lot of us are happy to see that the hospital will be having this 8 acres. We continue to retain over 26 acres up there, plus the small house in the county inventory even after this. The Biggs B was declared surplus. And this resolution is not before you tonight. It'll be coming next month after it's reviewed by some other committees of the legislature. We began a discussion of budgets and programs, and we started with the Board of Elections. Our two election commissioners, Steve DeWitt and Elizabeth Cree, came in, and we talked to them about what were the programs in their department, where were their revenues coming from, how were the operations going, and what they might anticipate being issues that might be coming up in the new budget season. We hope to do this with several of our departments over the next few months. We learned a couple things that were kind of interesting, and that the new ballot machines seem to be working well, and that the counts have been spot on when they have checked them against the actual paper ballots. However, they're much more difficult to program than the old machines were. The old ones used to take about 2 hours to do a machine, and these are taking at least 10 times that. We have to have well-trained people to spend time on those. And a point they made was that their technicians were apparently funded by one-time money last year. So we're going to have to be looking at that at budget as to whether we can continue those two positions they have. Also, they reminded us that the legislature last year in the budget process did not allocate any money for a primary election this year, and that we are certainly going to have to expend that money because there will be state primaries and also likely some local primaries. And I think the figure they were talking about was around $20,000. Am I to run a primary election? Is that correct, or was it?
I think it's more like 30 or
30,000. Okay, well, just so you know. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was that last two things was the broadband committee. We're still talking about that. Paula Younger is taking the lead, trying to put together a process for us with steps to what people we would have in this committee and what kind of expertise and who would be some likely people to be talking to about that, and we'll be moving ahead with that a little further. The last thing is on the agenda tonight, and it's a resolution in support of retaining county clerk's fees. And I'll talk about that when I move that. But if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Go ahead. Go ahead with the resolution.
I'd like to move the revised version of Resolution K in support of bills numbered A9919 and S7338 that permits county clerks to retain a share of the fees collected for motor vehicles through the Department of Motor Vehicle website. And I move that.
Second by Dave.
Second by Dave. I would also like to add at the end of this revised, if no one has an objection, that the copies would be sent to the governor and to our members of the state legislature. This has to do with a trickle effect that has happened over a lot of years, taking away our county clerk's revenues from Department of Motor Vehicles. It used to be when your registration, your license, or things like that came up, you went to your local DMV and went to the counter, and it was processed. Then a few years ago, the state DMV started sending out in the mail the registration renewals with its own office return on it. So those were being sent to Utica or other places. And what that meant for us was that the percentage of the fees, which normally were retained by the county clerk's office, which were 12.7% of that. So if you've got a $100 fee for, 2-year renewal or 4-year renewal, that's over $12 that we lose. That all went to the state. Well, things have gotten even worse now that they've gone to allowing registration renewals through the internet process. And all of those fees are being retained by the state. So what this resolution is being circulated by county clerks and counties, particularly in western New York, would simply ask the state to let us be returned the 12.7% of each of those registrations for people in our own counties that we used to get.
Frank?
Yeah, Mike, ironically, I had a conversation with Aurora just before the meeting tonight. Because
she couldn't be here tonight.
I was submitting my own registrations and sent one by mail, and I thought I had brought one down to Motor Vehicle to do. She indicated that if we bring it by hand to our own DMV, she can retain part of that fee. It's only when it's mailed or internet.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
So is it still a 12% retention that she will get, that our local DMV will get?
Yes, that is the figure. And there's a memo from Aurora about that. It should be in everyone's box, or should have been tonight.
It's not attached to the resolution?
No, but she made that clear. Frank, the other thing you can do, if you get a mailing from the state, and what I do, is I put a sticker over their address and write DMV on 3rd Street in Tompkins County. And they process it very quickly.
And then they, even though that's mailed in, they get to keep the fee.
That's correct.
As long as it goes locally.
Through our office.
She gets the fee.
That's right.
Thank you.
Will?
So I completely understand the point of encouraging people to do it locally, and it's about a week later. I'm a little bit less clear the rationale for why, if the state is doing essentially all the work, we should get it at 12%.
Because we're maintaining the Department of Motor Vehicles offices, as most counties do across the state, so that drivers can have a full range of services from.
So it's the whole system.
It's the system. It's the cost that we have, and that's a basic revenue source that we've always relied on to be able to have people in and take driver's tests, to be able to do special licensing, to do boat registrations and all of that, and we really need that.
Kathy?
Yeah, car dealers. Car dealers need it too.
Kathy?
Mike, I agree completely. And you may have said this, but could you just remind us, if you can, roughly what amount this revenue amounts to? It's a sizable amount.
Oh, it is. I can't quote that figure. I don't know whether Joe knows, but I would. We get a lot of revenue for operations from these registrations through the county clerk's office.
I seem to remember it's huge, like upwards of 1% or something.
Sorry, I don't have that figure.
Yeah, sorry. It's a big number.
It is
a big number.
And it really helps us with local revenues.
Thanks, Mike. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of revised Resolution K, raise your hand, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Premier Chair. All right, we have the minutes. We have done the three resolutions that were member filed. So minutes of the April 6th meeting, please. Frank moves accepting. Is there a second? Pam seconds. Any debate? All in favor?
Aye.
Please raise your hand. Any opposed? Minutes are accepted. We need a motion to go into executive
session. Unfinished business?
Unfinished business, Frank.
One item. Madam Chair, at the last meeting, with regard to the ATI reports that were completed and circulated, you asked me to try to locate the memo that I wrote and distribute copies to Nathan and yourself. I just want to report that those questions, I did locate the memo. It's dated August the 16th, 2009. And if any of the rest of you would like to have it, I'd be glad to send it. But Nathan and Martha did get it.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Can I have a motion to go into executive session for litigation and real estate negotiations? Moved by Brian. Seconded by Pat. All in favor? Any opposed? We are in executive session. I do not expect us to come out and take any action when we come out of executive session. We'll take a 5-minute break to shut down the cameras. Thank you all.